Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we're wrapping up our sermon series, The Thief We Let In which we have talked about how we allow social media into our life in such a way that it steals things from us. We've talked about how it can steal our contentment by us comparing ourselves to others, and this carefully filtered others that we are comparing ourselves to. We've talked about how it can steal our relationships, and in particular, how our social media relationships are really one-way relationships, and that we can dictate exactly when and how we choose to respond to anything that they have or say. We've talked about how it can steal our authenticity, and this is, we talked about, is nothing new. We've had hypocrites for a long time. But we've talked about how with social media and technology in particular, we can sort of shape ourselves how the world sees us in a way that might not really be the real Mike or the real whoever. And then last week, we talked about how it can steal our compassion. That we are so inundated by bad things happening around us in our world and in our lives that we can just flat lose compassion for those that are around us. Today, we're talking about how social media can steal our rest. And I would argue that technology as a whole can steal our rest. I mean, I'm not on any social media at all, but I still check this darn thing every few minutes. Anybody else? But I want to differentiate here. Our video kind of looked at this woman trying to sleep. And we're talking about rest. We're not talking about sleep. Sleep is important. Sleep is something that physically we have to do. Some of us are better at it than others. But it is a physiological need that we have. And when we sleep, and when we sleep well in particular, our body fixes itself. It fixes our brain. It fixes our body. It does things to prepare us for the next day. Sleep is important. It can affect our ability to actually rest. But the rest that we are talking about today is something that is intentional. It's something that you are awake for. Your brain is active when we ask you to rest. The sort of rest that we are talking about today is a rest in the peace of God. Now, social media can steal our sleep too. Let me be clear. You can be sitting up, waiting for that one more like, right? I want to get to 100 likes before I go to bed. Or this can happen, right? One more cat video. One more post. And the next thing you know, it's 30 minutes later and you hadn't gone to sleep yet. So social media can steal our sleep, but we're talking about a different kind of rest. And this rest is intentional. But this rest that we're talking about helps us to renew our soul. It helps us to renew our connection with God. And rest is something that God prescribes for us. The second commandment is the commandment of Sabbath. You will be quiet on this day of rest. You will have a day of rest. Even God needed a day of rest after he created the world. And God tells us you have to have rest. And let me talk a little bit about Sabbath rest. We sometimes think that Sabbath rest means that we just like sit down and do nothing. And I don't think that's really true. So I was a mentor for clergy that were between commissioning and ordination in the United Methodist Church. And I did it for a lot of years. I mentored 36 people through the years that I was this mentor for these people in this spot. And part of my job as they are entering the ministry is to help set a good example for them. And we were a small group that were holding each other accountable. And one of the things that I insisted that they do was that they take a Sabbath day of rest every week. And we held each other accountable. And look, there's some times that you can't do it. You can't get the Sabbath day in because of funerals or other commitments. But we would hold each other accountable. But what we began to understand was that Sabbath rest could include work, just not church work, right? So I found on my Sabbath days that I would go to my sailboat and do some maintenance on it because it fed my soul. So when we talk about Sabbath rest, we're not talking about you being a blob on the couch watching TV all day. We're talking about you specifically and deliberately doing things that feed your soul, that make you feel good. So when we talk about Sabbath rest, we're not talking about you just sitting there doing nothing, but rather doing things that help restore your soul. So our text today comes from the book of Hebrews. It's chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. So then, a Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God. For those who enter God's rest also cease from their labors as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one may fall through such disobedience as theirs. This is the word of God for the people of God. So this text is talking about a rest that we have in God. He's really talking about a peace that we find in God. It's a peace that is available to us as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. But let me point out that in this text, in the first sentence, it says, so then a Sabbath rest still remains. The Greek word that is written there is Sabbath. The word rest does not appear in that particular sentence. Because it is understood that with Sabbath comes rest. The rest of this verse where we see the word rest, there is a specific word there that means rest. And what the author is talking about is a peace that comes to us when we are in the presence of God. We enter into this peace of God. He's talking about this peace in which we are feeling God's presence with us and we are assured of God's love and God's salvation. That's the peace that we're after. That's the peace that this author is talking about. It's where you're at peace, where you get to sit with God and be with him. So we're talking today about how social media steals rest from us. But I believe in this particular instance that the stealing of rest from us comes from a much bigger place than just social media. I believe it is technology altogether. Now, I will tell you that you may have heard this old saying, but whenever you point at somebody, there are three fingers pointing back at you. And today, I want you to know that I am preaching to myself. If you all want to get anything out of it, you go right ahead. But I am preaching to myself here. While I am not on social media in any way, I am addicted to being connected. It's bad, y'all. It's bad. The very first thing I do in the morning, because it's this far from my bed, I'll pull it up. What emails do I have? What text messages do I have? I mean, I really can't even see yet, but I'm still looking at them. The very last thing I do before I lay my head down is look for texts, look for emails. And by the way, all the emails have to be read. Yeah, that's me. I looked at my wife's phone the other day, a couple months ago. She had 3,225 unread emails. I would die if I had that many unread emails. Now look, I get spam just like you do, and I recognize it. So I just mark it as read. I don't necessarily read it, but when my head goes down on the pillow, I have zero unread emails. It's bad, y'all. I got an addiction. I mean, I put my phone on airplane mode. I get on an airplane, right? Because it's airplane mode. And the wheels go, did I get any texts? Did I get any emails? Yeah. This is a real thing. Therapists have actually made up a word for it. It's called nomophobia. The long name is no mobile phone connectivity phobia. It's not quite made it officially into the books with a therapist yet, but baby, it is on its way. Now, some therapists, they're arguing. They're literally arguing about this. Some are saying, no, this is an addiction. So some people are advocating that instead of nomophobia, it should be smartphone addiction syndrome. No, disorder, sad. I like that, sad. Smartphone addiction disorder. Nomophobia, sad, whatever it is, I got it, and I got it bad, y'all. 58% of people don't go 1 hour without checking their phone when they're awake. 59% of people check email as it comes in. 89% check email on vacation. That's me. 80% of teenagers sleep with their phone like it's a teddy bear. No, not really. They just sleep with their phone. And I'm not too bad. My phone is maybe 8 inches from my head. Percent of people don't think they can go 1 day without their cell phone. And there's no wonder. I mean, from here, I can control my thermostat at my house. I can open my gate. I can open my garage. I can turn on my pool pump. I'm old school. I have on my phone 3,525 songs that I own outright. But I don't listen to them anymore because now I'm using Spotify. I've got the whole library of the world at my disposal. It tells time for me. It keeps timers. It's amazing. I don't know how I could go 1 day without this thing. I have, actually, but it was uncomfortable. And I will tell you that I went to lunch with the church staff and I forgot my cell phone. And I get in the car and I'm like, oh, I left my cell phone. It's just lunch. They were laughing at me by the time lunch was over because I was twitchy because I didn't have my phone with me. If we're going to find rest in God, we have to have some disconnected moments in our life. We have to have a moment in which we tell the world, you're going to have to wait. I want to spend some time with my Lord and my Savior. We're going to have to fight this addiction. We're going to have to be deliberate if we are going to find this peace, this rest in God that is available to us. We have to be intentional. We have to disconnect. We have to be quiet and be still. So you know what? We're going to practice right now. Now, some of you are going, oh, great, Mike. You're just going to spend a whole minute in silence. You're wasting your sermon time. Well, yeah, I'm going to make you do it anyway. So for the next 1 minute, I want you to just put your hands in your lap, put your cell phones down. I want you to think about how much God loves you for 1 minute, starting now. Oh, minute's up. That seemed like a long time, didn't it? 1 minute. 1 minute to reflect on God's love for you. And I will tell you, somebody came up to me after the first service, and they said, Mike, when you were making us sit and think about God's love for a minute, it wasn't 20 seconds before I decided I needed to go by Costco on the way home from church. And so even if we disconnect from the technology, it's difficult for us to disconnect our brains. And don't worry about that. Show yourself some grace. It's kind of who we are. It's kind of how our world works. And you'll get better at spending time with God and focusing with Him. Psalm 46 10 says this: Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I love that. Be still and know that I am God. I mean, that's how it starts for us, finding this peace. That this peace that is available to us as followers of Jesus Christ, this ability to rest in God's love and God's grace, it starts with our being still and knowing that God is God and that His love for you is immeasurable. If we're going to find this peace, this rest in God, we need to be intentional about finding space and time to do this. Lent is right around the corner. It starts on Wednesday. And you often hear folks talking about, well, what are you giving up for Lent? Because there is this history, this tradition of giving up things that are pleasurable for us in Lent, like maybe chocolate or Diet Dr. Pepper. No, can't do that one. But there's this tradition of giving up things. And you may choose to do that. Maybe you'll look at your social media use and how you might change that. I mean, I gave up social media completely for Lent one time. It was pretty free, actually. I'm not suggesting that you do that, but what I am suggesting is that this Lenten season, if you choose to give something up, I also want you to pick something up. Do something during the Lenten season that will help you maybe find this rest, this peace in God. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some practical defensive things that you can do to help with this technology draw. Put it down. Take it out of your pocket. Leave it in your office at lunch. Did you know that it has an off button? You can turn it off. Or one of my favorites is do not disturb. Y'all know how that one works? So you can set it such that between certain hours, for me, it's 11 p.m. to 6 a.m., no text messages or emails or phone calls will come through, except if they're on your favorites list. And then there's like this emergency thing, like if a phone rings three times in a row, it'll go through on the third or fourth time. But it's awesome. I turn mine on every night. It's automatic. It goes on at 11, comes off at 6. Do not disturb. You can use that. How about no phones at mealtime? Put all your phones in a basket and talk to each other. Might be pretty interesting to see what happens. I mean, how many times have you been in restaurants and seen everybody on the phone, scrolling, not talking? So when you're having dinner with your family, take your phones and put them down or turn them off. So let's talk about some maybe offense that you can do to help create some space and time in which you might find this peace, this rest that God offers us. And I'm going to pick this one up for Lent. Take 5 minutes to do nothing. Even at work, staff, you heard me. You can take 5 minutes and do nothing at work. Now look, I tried this yesterday. I fell asleep. You know what that tells me? I'm not getting enough sleep. That when I'm trying to rest, I'm falling asleep. And if that happens to you, give yourself some grace. It's okay. Give yourself some forgiveness. But this is one I'm picking up for Lent. Take 5 minutes each day just to do nothing but contemplate God's love for me. Or maybe you can pick up a regular scripture or devotion reading each morning. Or here's a novel idea. Put your phone in a drawer and go for a walk. Watch the sunset. Or if you're an early riser, watch the sunrise. But go out. Go out into the beauty of God's creation and see it, hear it, smell it, experience it. God created it for you. Create some time. Create some space. Create some disconnected time in which you can find this peace of God, which He has given to us. We, as followers of Jesus, have this opportunity to find this peace, this rest. Don't let it get away. It's amazing. It's amazing when you find it. Jeremiah 6:16 says this. Thus says the Lord, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path, where the good way lies, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But it goes on to say,
But they said, we will not walk in it. And it's not often that you hear me in Scripture say, don't be them. But I'm telling you, don't be them. This is what God is offering. Where the good way lies, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. This peace of God that is available to us will restore your soul. It will make you closer to God. God wants us to find it. We have to turn down the noise. We have to turn off the technology. We have to create the time and the space that we might hear from God. My brothers and sisters, His peace is waiting for you. Go out there and find it. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we know that Your peace is available to us. God, we squander it. We know that it's out there. We ask that You would help us to find ways that we can hear it, that we can see it, that we can experience it. Help us to find the good way, Your way, and walk in it, that we might find rest for our souls. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.